Hello, 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 hi. How's it going? This is Lizzie. Welcome. This is my brain. Feel free to listen. I'm gonna do a little Reddit, Am I the Asshole today? So it's not exactly Am I the Asshole, but it's... Oh no, okay, it was posted to True Off My Chest. The title... Okay, yeah, we're just gonna jump right into it. sorry, hold on. Okay, anyway, sorry. Oh. Okay. Okay. I should just restart this, shouldn't I? No. You're along for the ride. We're gonna read a little Reddit, get off my chest, true off my chest thing, story about this guy wanting to divorce his wife. The title is, I'm considering divorcing my wife because she can't get over her mom dying. So, right off the bat, it's a little like, what? How dare you? Like, this is the men that we talk about that, like, when the woman goes through a hard thing, they leave. They leave. Anyway, so I didn't read all of it, but I did read some. There's some twists and turns. And eventually, you know, you'll see maybe he's not so wrong. Okay. Mood spoiler. Genuinely fucked up. It has a trigger warning of mental health issues, dissociation, and infidelity. If that leads you to anything. Okay. We're gonna read. Yeah, I know everyone is fired up by the title and ready to tell me what an asshole I am. To these people, I implore you to read the rest of this post before making a judgment. My 36 male wife, 33 female wife's mother passed away 5 years ago from lung cancer. It was not a peaceful or easy death. Our lives understandably went on pause after the diagnosis, and we both spent a lot of time off work helping care for her mother. My wife had a pretty typical shower. My wife had a pretty typical showing of grief at the time, cycling through different stages. Same with our three kids. After she passed, however, my wife got really bad. I totally understand this. I can't say I know exactly what she went through, because I haven't had a parent die, but I understand how devastated she was. For months after, she could barely function. I genuinely took over pretty much all the responsibilities in the household and with the kids, and she had been attending grief counseling since the diagnosis and continued after the death. None of this was the problem. None of this is the problem. I endeavored to be as supportive as possible. She cried on my shoulder every night for months. I just thought this was the worst of better for better or worse. The problem is that after 5 years, she does not seem any better or more functional. She stopped grief counseling about 4 years ago and refused to go again, stating it would not help her and that nothing could. About a month before any major holiday, she would have a major downturn, in bed half the day, crying all day, does not want to interact with the family, does not have the energy to do anything around the house. This will go on for every single day, until about a week after the holiday ends. Every holiday is intense grief, just as much now as it was 5 years ago. October, November, December, and January, in quotes, or in parentheses, her mom's birth month, every year are particularly bad. I am essentially without it my wife and am a single parent to my three kids. Altogether, she is completely incapacitated by grief about 6 months out of the year, and has been for the past 5 years. Like, pause there. That's a lot. That's really, really, really sad. And like, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's very sad to see somebody be like that. And it's, you know, it's major depression. Like, that's gotta be it. Anyway. When I say incapacitated, I mean incapacitated. When she is in the depths of her grief, she is completely incapable of intimacy with me or the kids. There's no cuddling, spending time with us, going on family outings. I don't have sex for half the year. I've stopped asking her if she wants to talk about it because she can't get any words out between sobs if she tries. What hurts the most is that the kids have stopped asking or being concerned. If they see their mom in bed when they get home, they just go about their day and might casually mention, oh, mom is sad today, if they're siblings, or I ask where she is. They don't really seek affection with her anymore because they rarely get anything more than tears. That's sad. Like, that is neglect. Your children need you, and you are neglecting them. I've discussed this with therapists, my friends, my parents, etc., and I know all the rebuttals people have for this. So let me preempt them. She is unwilling to go back to therapy for grief counseling or see a doctor for depression. Yes, I know she's severely depressed. I can't force her to go to the doctor. I've tried so much. Yes, it really is just as intense as it was 5 years ago. No, I never tell her to get over it or blow her off. On my worst days, I just give her space, leave her be. Most days, I try to offer some comfort. If you want to judge me for leaving... Oh, if you want to judge me for leaving her alone, whatever. But know that I feel like I essentially have caretaker fatigue at this point. No, she does not have a history of depression, but she does have ADHD. Don't know if that's relevant. Whatever. I feel like my wife died when her mother died. I would do anything to get her back, even a small piece of her. But she doesn't seem willing or able to move on past her mother's death. I feel awful for considering a divorce, but I don't know what else to do. So, that was the first post. A lot of people, apparently, through the next post, I looked a little bit, and then this is where I stopped reading. Through the next post... Sorry, hold on, give me 1 second. I'm just gonna text my friend back. Okay. So, from the first post, I believe people commented saying she needs more intense therapy. She needs inpatient, she needs just anything you can get her. Like, more than this. More than just allowing her to, like, sulk. And probably, you know, write out your feelings. That's a great way so that you don't get, you know, overwhelmed by her emotions. To not, you know, to back down again. Because that is what he did. He wrote it out. Anyway, okay. Let's get into the second post. Second post, first update. 2 days later. I posted a few days ago. You can check my profile for that post. I just kind of threw that post together as a stream of consciousness vent to break at work. On my break at work. I didn't go back and look at it until later, because I assumed it would get buried since I haven't had anything I post to get any major attention. And honestly, I thought I was going to get eviscerated in the comments for being insensitive or uncaring. I was floored by the number of responses and really kind DMs I got and felt a little overwhelmed at the idea of responding to them all. So I figured I would post an update here. A few people mentioned I should have her involuntarily admitted to a medical facility. I didn't mention in the original post, but I did ask her family doctor about that maybe a year ago, and he told me that unless she is a threat to herself or others, it's unlikely to happen. I looked this up myself as well, and it appears to be true for the state we live in. I do agree that she needs medical treatment. I suspect that during her year of grief counseling after her mom's death, that she was not honest with her counselor. I have a distinctly sad memory of her coming home after one of her last sessions, telling me that her counselor said she probably wouldn't need to go much longer. Then she went and laid down in the bed and cried. I haven't been able to convince her to go back to counseling. However, I am glad I posted on Reddit, because somehow I hadn't really considered that she might need more intensive therapy than just counseling. I also saw one comment that scared the hell out of me, that she may do something drastic if I give her a divorce ultimatum. With those things in mind, I don't think that doing this is the way to go. Instead, I'm planning to write her a letter explaining explaining to her how we need her back, and that we love her and care for her deeply, but she needs more help than we can provide alone, and tell her that she needs to go to a doctor and be honest about what she's been going through. Thank you all for your advice. All right, this is the second update. I wasn't planning to post again, but I got a lot of supportive messages asking for an update, so here we go. My soon-to-be ex-wife has completely lost her fucking mind. After my last post, I spent a couple days writing the letter. So that was where I stopped, I believe. No, maybe I did read into this. I know I didn't read all of it because I screenshotted it, so I wouldn't read it. Okay, anyway. Let's jump in. This is him confronting her with the letter, and you will see how she reacted. It's not great. She's lost her mind. After my last post, I spent a couple days writing the letter to her. In it, I explained that the kids and I love her dearly and that we're concerned for her. I outlined all the worrying behaviors and told her that I believe she needs to seek additional medical care. I explained that it sounded like she had complex grief. Thank you everyone who pointed that out. And that the grief therapy she went to years ago was insufficient to help her get through it. I did not say anything about potentially divorcing her, but did say that the kids can't continue to live in the current situation. It was a long letter, and I don't really feel like transcribing it here. I read the letter to her the same night I finished writing it after the kids had gone to bed. After I finished reading it, she just stared right through me, a thousand-yard stare, for probably 15 minutes. Probably, 15 minutes. Then finally stood up and started walking to the door. I panicked and tried to stop her, asked her where she was going. Can we talk about this? I'm concerned for your safety. She rolled her eyes at me and said, in the coldest voice I'd ever heard, I hope when your parents die, somebody doesn't tell you to get over it. After that, I didn't try to stop her. I just let her go. I was pissed off for maybe 5 minutes before the panic set back in. I legitimately thought she was going to end herself. I checked my phone. She had turned off her location. I called and texted maybe 50 times over the next hour, begging her to at least let me know she was okay and that she wasn't going to do something drastic. Oh, this is where I ended. This is where I stopped. Oh, this is the worst of it. Okay. Again, trigger warning for infidelity. If anybody else is like, has those memories of like that flashback of reading the message, hearing the thing, you know, just be warned. Maybe pause, maybe skip forward 5 minutes. I don't know. But it's fucked. Okay. Right before I was about to call the police, I got a call from her phone. I answered immediately before I could get much of anything in. A man's voice told me, "She's fine, but she doesn't want to talk to you," and hung up. Ugh, like just that, like, I can hear it. It's probably not in that voice, but in somebody's voice, and it's like, that's, you just stop, and it's like, your gut falls, you know, everything, your heart drops, not gut, but, you know, your heart drops into your gut, and it's just, ugh. I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience at the time. I had no idea what the fuck was going on. I almost called the cops anyway, but I was so disassociating hard. Sorry. And talked myself out of it. I kept calling her phone all night. No one picked up. After about 2 a.m., it started to go straight to voicemail. I barely slept that night. When I woke up the next day, she wasn't home. I took the kids to school, / daycare. I normally do this, and my wife is normally still asleep while I do. So thank God they didn't ask where she was. I tried calling my wife's phone more all morning, but still voicemail. I called her office and asked if she was at work. They told me she had called in sick. I called in sick to work as well and basically just sat on my couch trying to get a hold of her while being a nervous wreck. I called my mom as well and asked if she could pick up the kids from school today and watch them overnight. I didn't tell her everything that was going on yet. Just that something had come up that was urgent and I needed some help. My wife walked in the door sometime after 4 p.m. I tried to hug her and she shied me away. I don't know. She shied me away. Shooed me away? I don't know. Oh, shied away from me. That's why I didn't know. Okay, awesome. I can't read if anybody wondered. I tried to hug her and she shied away from me. I asked her where she had been. No response. Just a blank stare. I asked her who called me from her phone. No response. Blank stare. At this point, I was frustrated and told her that if she didn't explain what was going on, she could get the fuck out. I regret saying it that way now, but holy shit, I was frustrated. So, she started talking. But it was like I was talking to text-to-speech AI with her voice. No emotion, totally flat, almost annoyed. She told me that she had gone to her friend John's house. I had no idea who the fuck John was and asked her to explain further. Yeah, I hadn't gotten into any of this. God. Over a 2 hour or so conversation where I had to pry details out of her, I got most of the story. She was answering like a lawyer, very basic answers, no details or context outside of exactly what I was asking her. Basically, John is a coworker. I've met the dude once or twice at an office party, but never really talked to him. I never saw him hanging out with my wife or showing interest in her, but apparently over the last year or so, she had been spilling all her feelings about her grief over her mom's death to him. And he's been comforting her. He had a parent die from cancer too. So I guess she felt they had a connection she didn't have with me. After I read her the letter, she said she realized, "I don't care about her or her mom's death. and went to John's house to talk, slash be comforted. I flat out asked her if she was having an affair with him. She told me no. I asked her why she never mentioned she had a close friend with this unknown guy, and she told me it was none of my business. I asked her if anything happened between them while she was there, and she says they cuddled and he held her while she cried. I asked her to see her phone and check the messages between them. She refused. Couldn't get much more detail out of her about the whole situation. Ugh, that's awful. Like, I just... to ignore your husband like that and make him the bad guy for wanting you to get help, for wanting you to be able to communicate with him. Instead, you go to a stranger, person you don't have kids with, person you don't have history with, all because you went through the same thing. Like, you don't have to go through exactly the same thing to understand the pain that it will cause and does cause, and the hole that is there forever now. Like, people that haven't lost somebody like that, it doesn't mean that it's impossible to understand. You know? Okay. So when she went to take a shower, I tried to check her phone. She had changed her passcode. I grabbed her iPad, which still had my thumbprint biometric signature on it, checked there. I left the house with the iPad to look for evidence while she was in the shower. I did not immediately see any messages from a John, but after digging briefly, I found it. She had put him in as Stacy in her contacts, but it was obviously him. There were texts going back well over a year, a lot of her talking about her mom, a lot of him comforting her, a lot of him telling her I don't really care about her and that he would never treat her that way if they were married. All of her replies were in agreement. A lot of texts coming from her complaining about me. A lot of him trash talking me. The night she left, she texted him, "Fuck it, I'm on my way over if the offer is still there." Followed by an immediate yes reply. Then the next morning, a text from him saying, "If he asks, we just talked." I threw up out of my car window in a Walmart parking lot for 20 minutes. Definitely have had one of those messages, you know, one of those snooping, you know, you shouldn't look because you know you're going to find what you find, but you just need that 100% solid fact because the person you trust, the person who's supposed to be honest to you, is lying. And you know it, you know in your heart they're lying, but you want to trust them, so you want to be wrong. You want to look and find nothing. But you know deep down, if you even have to ask, it's, you probably know, you know? I came home and found her on the couch on her phone, seemingly unconcerned or unaware I had even left. I told her that I knew and that she needed to leave. Again, she just stared at me for a while, not responding until I got aggravated and told her to get the fuck out of the house. She immediately got up, told me, "John was right about you," and left. I haven't seen her since. I told the kids she went to visit her parents. I don't know what to tell them, but I have to tell them something soon. I don't really even know what to do. Ostensibly, I need to divorce her, but going through custody, child support, etc., it's dizzying. I feel paralyzed, and I haven't made a move yet. I know she lost her mind, and this is probably some kind of psychotic break, but I just can't care anymore. I put on a brave, numb face to go to work, then for my kids at night, and then cry after that. then cry after they go to bed until I fall asleep. I feel like my life is essentially over. I do feel like John took advantage of her vulnerability, but I don't even want to bother trying to get her to see that he's a predator. She chose this over her fucking family, and that has stuck with her. I don't think I'll be posting any more updates or logging into this account anymore. That was the last. The end. I want to know, obviously, I want to know what happened. But like, goddamn. I hope he left her so quick. I hope she, you know, ran off with her new boo and didn't, you know, cause any fuss, frankly. Cause any problems or anything for this man, because he tried. I don't know. It seemed like he really cared. It seemed like, you know, he would have been there through it all. He was there for 5 years. 5 years. The first three, bet he didn't even bat an eye. He was like, it's okay. We will get through this. By year five, half of a decade? Not a decade. Yeah? No. Yes, decade. Century is 100. Okay, decade, yes. Half of a decade? Like, that's wild. Your life needs to, you know... I know a woman who lost her son, you know, and probably feels a lot of guilt for it. She, you know, not that she got over it, absolutely not, but I don't think she is laying sobbing in bed every day for months still. You know, she has gotten, you know, she's picked up her shit and not moved on, obviously. You know, she talks about him still on Facebook and everything and says she misses him still. And of course, that is always going to be there. Like I said, that's a hole. That's a hole in your life that is never, it's gone. When a person dies, they're just gone, and that's it. It's very final, and it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying you need to get over it. There's no getting over it, but you need to live still. You can't stop your life 6 months out of the year, every year for 5 years. You can't do that. You're wasting your life. You have a life to live and you're wasting it. Anyway, that's kind of all I had to talk about. I could chit chat a little bit about that movie that just came out. Leave the World Behind. I watched that yesterday. It was decent. I didn't hate it. Like, there were times that I was like, oh, what's happening? What's going to happen? Oh, no, what's going to happen? But the problem is it ended with so much uncertainty. There was no real villain. There was no real, you know, you don't know what really happened in it. Which is always, you know, that is the scariest movie, you know? The one that is like, oh, but who was the monster? What was the thing? And you just never know. There was a lot of hints that it was hackers and like that kind of thing, but it also hinted at it being other countries. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me start over. So the movie is about, it's kind of a horror. It's about a family that is trying to get out of the city for a weekend. They go and, you know, stay across one of the lakes at one of the nicer houses that's, like, just right outside of the city of New York. And so they go there for the weekend. Right when they get there, or not straight away, but, like, a few hours into being there, all service is cut off. Everything. And then a man shows up at the house. And at first you're, you know, wondering, is this, you know, is this a murder movie? Like, what's happening? You find out this man is the homeowner. He proves it. He really is. It's not some murder or whatever. But it's the homeowner and his daughter. So they're all staying there together. The family that's renting this house finally allows them to stay because they're like, okay, things are weird. We don't know what's going on. And also, maybe you know, because you hinted that you know. So maybe you give us some information about what's happening right now. Why can't we see anything? And so they stay over one night. They go to sleep. All their phones still aren't working or anything. All service is out. Everything's down. In the middle of the night, you can see that the TV turns back on and it says, like, cyber attacks all over America. It doesn't say who it is, though, still. So you do know a little bit that it's hackers. But there's no telling whether it's one entity, whether it's people fucking with people, or, you know, there's no saying. So you see that, and then the woman's phone works, the wife that is there. It works temporarily in the morning to show her notifications that go away straight away. That's weird to me. Like that, but also if it's hacking, maybe, you know, I don't know. Anyway, so it shows her some notifications, so she knows then again about the hackers a little bit. And so, you know, they're trying to figure shit out. The daughter is seeing weird shit, like animals aren't acting right, there's too many deer out, like not normal for like a gang of deer. It's like hundreds of deer just like standing there, and she sees them and it's like just everything's a little off. There's like planes crashing. They go to the beach. Oh, actually that happens the very first day. They go to a beach and then a oil tanker beaches. It comes straight from the water, straight onto the ocean, or onto the beach, right where they were sitting, but that's just to be dramatic, you know. They got away. It didn't hurt, you know. Nobody got hurt, but, you know, to really emphasize what happens, that's, yeah, okay. Anyway, so these hackers go on, whatever. That's kind of the whole movie, though. That's it. Like, that's it. And then the wife of the, like, guy that owned the house, she was across the country, like, or in a different country. So they don't know what happened to her. They obviously can't get a hold of her or anything, but they find a bunker, they're thought to have gotten to the bunker. They were told about it, and that's kind of where it was left. It ends by the daughter finding a house. And then she, the whole movie, she just wants to watch Friends. She wants to finish Friends. She's on the last episode and she can't watch it. And so in this bunker, she looks around. There's this whole wall of shows, TV shows and CDs. She finds Friends, turns it on. That's how the movie ends. It just... So you don't ever see everybody else come there, but everybody was pointed at that direction. So it's very likely that everybody got there. But I don't know. Because the dad was supposed to go back to the daughter within an hour, and the alarms go off, like, immediately when they all are told to go to this house. The mom and the child, not her child, but the homeowner's daughter, and then the woman that's renting the house, they go into the woods to look for the homeowner's daughter. The renter's daughter, because she wandered off. And so the alarm goes off and they're in the middle of the woods. So who's to say if, you know, they all just end up at the house, or if the dad goes back to that house and is then freaked out because she's gone and then doesn't know where to go to find her. And then they're all, you know, who knows? Who knows? There was no real clear ending, and I don't like that. But then again, where else would you go after that? If they all did make it to the house, what are you supposed to assume then? That they all live happily ever after? Like, no. So I think it's probably just leading to maybe another movie. Possibly not, though. They rarely do sequels. And if they don't do them, they don't do them very well, in my opinion. But I don't know. I never watched Bird Box 2, so maybe it was good. I think there was a 2. I don't remember. Anyway, I'm gonna go now. I'm done. I'm done talking. Sorry. Sorry. Just sorry. I hope you're good. I hope this wasn't too annoying to listen to, if you did actually listen all the way. Yep, that's everything. Okay, bye. This was Lizzie. I hope you have a lovely day.